Well, this is our final sermon in the series on the golden chain of salvation, the definition of the Church of Christ. And we're going to look for the final time at verses 29 and 30 and the final chain, the final link in the chain. Let's read together. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Can we pray, please? Lord, only you can communicate these words into our hearts. Only you can make them live. And I pray this morning, Lord, you will manifest your grace by speaking through the preached word. Give ears to hear. And may you indeed be lifted on high. Amen. What we read in our text is known as the golden chain of salvation. Paul here compares Christian salvation to a chain that spans over time, from eternity past to eternity that is to come. Notice there are five links in the chain. Five links: foreknown, predestined, called, justified, and glorified. You recognize it? I've highlighted them. Over the past few weeks, we've looked at four of these wonderful links in our salvation. And today we come to the final link, the fifth link in the chain: glorified. Notice Paul tells us, verse 30, and those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also glorified. Glorified. Paul tells us here that if you're a Christian, if you have been called ecclesia, if you're one of God's called, then you're justified. In other words, God's taken away, cancelled out all of your sin. And if you have been justified, then you are also glorified. Now, what does this mean? I want you to notice, first of all, that Paul is not telling us that Christians will one day, future tense, be glorified when they get to heaven. He's not talking of that here. Paul tells us something that's in the aorist tense, the past completed tense. Christians who've been justified are glorified. It's a completed thing that's happened. Christians, we read here, are glorified. Edoxa sin. So, to be called out and justified as a Christian, by default, Paul is telling us, makes us right now glorified. You're glorified. That's what the text is saying. Paul is telling us in these two verses who the church are. The church are very special people. We may not look like much to the eyes of the world, but that's God's plan. He's making foolish the wisdom of this world. And he tells us that if we're Christians, we're foreknown by God. In other words, God has loved you from the very beginning. He's always loved you. You are predestined by God. That means God has a strategy, a foreordained plan to make you like Jesus is one day. You are called. In other words, your conscience has been activated by the Holy Spirit, and you have become born again into the kingdom of God. And if you're called, you have been justified. In other words, your sin has been removed from your account. As far as the east is from the west, you're justified. And then if you're justified, you are now, as we sit here, glorified. Right now, past tense, those he justified, he also glorified. Now today we need to consider what this means. Are you ready? You know, when I was a younger Christian, less experienced, I really struggled to understand this passage. It just seemed too good to be true. What? Glorified? Me? And notice, not will be glorified when we get to heaven, but now glorified. How can this be? Do any of you struggle to understand this? I hope so, because that's what I'm here to do, is help you understand it today. The problem, I think, is that we don't understand what Paul means by that particular word, glorified. Paul is not saying here that if you are justified, then you are glorious. Notice the word is not glorious, but glorified. And there's a vital difference between those two words. God alone is glorious. In fact, the Bible clearly tells us that God will not share in his glory. All glory goes to God and God alone. In fact, we read accounts in the Bible when people tried to take glory for themselves. What happened? God killed them. God will not give glory to anyone. God alone is to be glorified. God alone is glorious. But if this is so, how can we read here this morning, those whom God has called are glorified? How can we claim as Christians, knowing the jealousy of God for his glory, that we are, those who are called and justified, glorified? How can this be? Are you ready for the answer? God alone is glorious, of course. But God is able to communicate his glory. God is able to make people experience his glory, enjoy his glory. Listen, when God shines out his glory, anything that glory touches, we could say, is glorified. To be glorified means to be made recipient of God's glory, to be a partaker in that glory. Only God is glorious, but to be touched by God's glory is to be glorified. Do you get the idea? Let me give you an example from the Bible of what this looks like. We read of a time in Exodus when Moses is on the holy mountain and he says to God, "Lord God, show me your glory." And God says, Moses, I can't do that. No one can see my face and live. You look at me and you're just going to explode. But then God makes a concession. What does he do? He puts Moses in the cleft of a rock and he reveals to Moses just a portion of his glory. Now, we cannot even imagine that. But the Bible tells us when Moses comes down again from the mountain, his face is shining. His face is shining so much they have to put a veil over his face to cover the shine because people are afraid. Moses had a face shining from encounter with the glory of God. I could put it this way. On Mount Sinai, Moses was glorified. Moses was glorified. The glory of God directly touched him. And the effect was that glow. You see, to be glorified is to experience and be affected by God's amazing glory. God's glory glorifies. And we're told here today that all of us who have been called out and justified are glorified. Okay, now you may say, well, I get you so far. I understand the difference between glory and being glorified. I get that. I also understand here how Moses was glorified by being in the presence of God and he glowed with the glory of God. But how can I apply this to me today in this church? I mean, you don't see many people walking around nowadays with glowing faces, do you? So how can we apply this glorified to us? You may say, I can't relate to what this is saying. You may say, I'm a Christian. I've experienced God's call. I know the call. I have a confidence that I'm justified, but glorified. How can I know this to be true in my everyday life? How? In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12. We're told that God has saved us especially to the praise of his glory. We are saved especially for one purpose. I could put it this way. We were glorified so that we could express glory. This is what we mean, by the way, by the image of God. Just like the image in a mirror is reflected back to the face that looks in it, our appreciation, our thankfulness, our enjoyment of God, our wonder at who God is all reflected back to God's glory. You see, we were created to the image of God's glory. Just as a mirror images our face when we look in it, we are imago Dei, reflectors of God. And that is why God glorifies us. He wants worship. And the more thankful you are, the more amazed you are, the more filled with joy you are at God, the more God is worshipped. God wants you to glow in the light of his glory, to reflect the light of glory by your thankfulness, your humility, your peace, your joy. So it is true. It's very unlikely that any of us will walk around with shining faces nowadays. But you know, we can shine in other ways, can't we? We can shine in our adoration. in our thankfulness, in our joy. This is what it means to be glorified, to be touched by God's glory and to reflect that glory back to God. All right, let me come to the application. And I'm going to be direct. You have to apply it, and only you will. If a cap fits, wear it, please. Are you glorified this morning? Well, according to this passage, if all those four things apply to you, the fifth one had better apply to you, okay? The chain can't be broken. Are you glorified? Has the glory of God touched you? Let me put it this way. Has your hard heart been broken? Have your blind eyes been opened? Have you been drawn to the amazing love of God in Christ? Have you been forgiven all your sins? Have you been promised eternal life? Do you realize that you're adopted as a child of the Almighty? Have those wonderful, glorious truths impacted you? Well, if it has, if the glory of that gospel has really touched your heart, let me tell you something. This morning you will find yourself glorified. You will be profoundly affected by this glory. You will be finding yourself amazed, thankful, humbled, joyful, surrendered, hungry for more. Let me put it this way. If God has glorified you, you'll find yourself bursting to give glory to God, to sing his praises, to celebrate his love, to worship him for who he is. Glorified people are worshiping people. That's why we were saved, to the praise of his glory. And if you're glorified, you'll be filled with a sense of wow, and that wow is the reflection that goes back to God. If you have been glorified, you're going to find yourself bursting with the glory of God, and you'll have to express it in worship. Are you? You know, words are cheap. Anybody can talk Christian talk. I find it very easy. I don't know about you. Especially a couple of hours on a Sunday. It's not a lot of work. But God's glorified people are spontaneous. They don't just say things. They can't keep in what has happened to them. To a glorified person, somebody who's been touched by the glory of God, worship is inevitable. In fact, this is how you can know this morning whether you have been foreknown, predestined, called, and justified. How? You will be a worshiper of God. Don't tell me you've been on the mountain if your face is not glowing. Worship will be in your blood. God's glory, if it's glorified you, will have to get out somehow. It will be expressed. And I think this is a major issue we have in our churches today, because I've come across this so many times, even in this church, I'm sorry to say. I've heard so much talk and argument about how churches should be worshiping God. And some say we need happy, lively music, guitars, drums, amplifiers, the louder the better, the more joyful the better. You know, let your hair down and enjoy it. And then you get other people who say, no, it's all about being still. And knowing, and quietly reflecting. But do you know, worship is not a matter of instruments, or hymns, or choruses, or lively, or conservative. It's not about that. Worship is about expressing what God has put in your heart. And if you have not been glorified, listen, if you're not glorified, you will not be able to worship. Because how can you give glory if you haven't received glorification? Hey, the sun has to hit you before it can reflect the light. I've been in some churches that are very conservative. I was in one last week where all the ladies wear hats and all the men wear dark suits and they only play the organ You're not even allowed to crack a smile. But do you know what? I felt the glory of God in their worship. But I was in Africa. And I've been in places where they wave their Bibles and lift their knees to their chins and dance. And you know, I felt the glory of God there. You see, the question is not which is the right way to worship, but are you a capable worshiper? How can you know and celebrate glory unless you've been glorified? You might as well ask Moses to glow that shining face that he's never been up the mountain. So let me ask you, have you been glorified? Has the wonder of God's glory in Christ touched you, moved you, amazed you? And if it has, you will find yourself spontaneously overflowing, reflecting that glory back to the glorious one. That's why God created you. We're told very explicitly in Ephesians, to the praise of his glory. That is what you'll be doing for eternity in heaven one day. And you've got to be able to do it. Hey, worship doesn't, you can't do it. You can train yourself, but you can't do it. Unless glory has hit you, you can't be glorified. And it's glorified people who give glory to God. We are reflectors, imago Dei, the image of God. Hey, he's got to shine into that mirror before it's going to glow. When was the last time you felt the glorification of God? Supposed to. That's what worship's all about. You're created to be a worshiper. I always remember the first time it really hit me. I'd just been baptized. It was years and years ago now, and I was on a mountaintop on my own. Thank goodness I was on my own. And I looked over the panorama in the Southern Cape in Africa, and the beauty was so overwhelming, and I got a sense of God's beauty. And I'm glad no one was there, because you would have locked me up. You'd probably never seen me dance, and you probably never want to see me dance, but I jigged. I fell on my face, I laughed, I cried, I just exploded with this sense of glory, and I couldn't help it, because glory had glorified me. Do you understand now what it's saying in the text? He saved you to shine his light on you. So for all eternity, you'll say, thine be the glory. You'll cast down your crown at his feet. Hey, let's not fight about how we worship. Let's make sure we are worshippers. Because it's all that in here. I would like to share a little song with you. I don't normally do this. And it's one of those songs that's a bit, some of you might not even like it, but I like it. And I thought I'd like to share this before I close in prayer. So if you could just sit and listen to this before I stand up again. It's only 2 minutes. Let's pray. Father, help us to understand this amazing statement you make that we've looked at for the past 6 weeks or so. As a church, we pray we will recognize that we are foreknown, predestined, called, justified, and this to the praise of your glory. We've been glorified for a purpose. You've ignited us with spiritual grace so that we will shine. Forgive us for making worship something that it's not. Oh God, may it come from within. And may we, Lord, as a church, worship in spirit and in truth. Amen.